Praise the Lord and good evening, everyone. Praise the Lord and good evening, everyone. This is Bishop Michael, pastor of the Beulah Tabernacle Church in Brooklyn, New York, and it is our great privilege and pleasure to be with you again as we have our weekly prayer and Bible study. We love the Lord and we are grateful to God for all the many blessings that he has bestowed upon us. And truly we can declare this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer as we prepare ourselves to go before God with his word. Father, in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we honor you this day, and we declare that this is the day you have made. We thank you, for you have promised to daily load us with benefits, and we don't take our benefits for granted. We bless you for every benefit that is ours based upon Christ, for all that Christ has suffered for us to allow us to be able to come boldly to the throne of grace. Oh God, our hearts are ecstatic. Our hearts are overwhelmed when we think of your mercy toward us. Our souls delight in you. Father, thank you for this night, for these that have gathered. We pray, Lord God, that you will anoint us afresh as we share your word. Anoint us in the midst of our prayers, and let all things be done to your glory, to your honor, and to your praise. We commit ourselves into your hands, and with grateful hearts, we dive into your word. Saturate us with your word. Cleanse us with your word. Bless us. Build our faith. Strengthen our resolve. And we will not forget to give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise the Lord, everyone. Again, we bring you greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today is Tuesday, April the 6th in the year 2021, and we are blessed of the Lord to be able to be gathered together, and we are excited about going forward in our Bible study and then going into the presence of God with prayer. Please let me know that you're able to see the share screen. I am taking the opportunity to share my screen, and we will read through as much as possible. You can put it in the chat for those of you that are using the chat. Okay, God bless you. Thank you very much. So we want to dive right in. Last week, we ended on point number 5. And just to give a high-level refresher or to touch base on what we've covered, we are dealing with the issue of it shall be done in 21, based upon what God has placed in our spirit for the focus of this year. And I'm telling you, we're already seeing God do some great things. God has been moving and God has been blessing. He has been working in our lives in accordance with his word. The foundation scriptures are Matthew chapter 21, verse 20 and 21. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Romans chapter 4, verse 20, 21. What God has shared with me is that he is speaking to us in this year in a very powerful way through his word. These verses are not, I don't have control over what verses are numbered or how they're numbered in the scripture, but the Lord was taking me through his word to highlight these verses and to bring this theme to you as a call to action for every person under the sound of my voice. It shall be done in 21. And it is just mind-blowing to me how that there are three scriptures that have verses 20 and 21 that are so aligned with the idea of understanding how critical it is to apply faith in the power of God and watch how things work. The Lord told the disciples, it shall be done in Matthew chapter 21. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, it talks about the power that worketh in us. Glory to God. This power, him that is able to do exceeding and abundantly, is working through us. And Romans chapter 4 talked about Abraham's faith, how he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able to perform. And so I'm not going to go into any depth analysis with these foundational verses. Those of you that are with us or those of you that are just tuning in, you can listen to the previous recorded broadcast and you can get more of an analysis about those verses and how this all connects. But it is profound. It is mind-blowing. It stirs my spirit to understand how God has orchestrated for us this year of purpose, power, prayer, and praise. Glory to God. And I feel so strong about that, that I'm going to actually put that in the chat. And I want you all to know, as a matter of fact, when you use the chat, please make sure that you make your chat statements to everyone so that everybody can see what verses you may have selected and you're asking to participate in to read. But I want you to see this. This year, 2021, where the Lord has told us to give you this call, this call to arms, as it were, this call to action, that it shall be done in 21. This is a year of purpose, power, prayer, and praise. Praise the name of God. We want to encourage you. And tonight, our focus is going to be the continuation of the doctrinal foundational teaching that we started. We talked about how important it is to set goals and understand how to set goals properly. And I am still, believe it or not, waiting for some of you to turn in your goals. Bless your heart. We only have about a month, a little bit under two months right now to get these goals done. So I'm still waiting for some of you. Hint, hint, bless your hearts. We talked about understanding how to be free from fear of failure, because sometimes when you pursue goals and you're trying to accomplish something, there's a fear of failure that paralyzes people. Excuses come up. Past failures have come up. Issues in their life comes up. Issues in their families comes up. Issues on top of issues come up. The enemy stirs up some stuff from the past. And you've got to understand that while you're going through whatever it is you're going through, that the God we serve is the God of the hills and he's the God of the valleys. Wherever you are in this traverse, God is the God that's always there with you. And so we went through dealing with progressing through the pain, et cetera, et cetera. So tonight we're going to continue with the doctrinal foundation, because you must understand the place of God's word in a doctrinal context. And the word doctrine simply means teaching. So you don't have to get all bent out of shape and think that, okay, well, Pastor Michael's about to get dogmatic. Well, I mean, if that's your assessment of the word, use of the word doctrine, that's your assessment. But the Lord Jesus talked about doctrine. The apostles talked about doctrine. The Old Testament even, you know, I believe used the word doctrine. Doctrine just simply means teaching. And we are to follow the teachings of Christ. The apostles followed the teachings of Jesus. And we ought to do the same. We talked about the first part had to do with things we must believe. We must have a strong doctrinal foundation. And this is based upon chapter 2, 2 John, rather, verse 9. And that's an important verse of scripture that we shared with you concerning this idea of embracing and following the doctrinal teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that I just want to share that with you very quickly before we go on, because that's a very important foundational verse. 2 John verse 9. So if you're using a Bible app of some sort, you may just have to put verse 1 or chapter 1, verse 9. But it says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Again, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Again, that's 2 John verse 9. I'm going to put that in the chat just for the benefit of those that are listening or looking through the Zoom experience right now. That's the foundational scripture for what we are using in terms of understanding these seven essentials. We first talked about the things we must believe. And when we talked about that, we talked about the idea of understanding the doctrines of Christ as shared in the book of Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 through 2. Hebrews chapter 6. Verse 1 through 2. And there it enumerates seven doctrines that we must believe. These are the things we must believe. And then we looked at Acts chapter 2, verse 42 and verse 45 through 47. Again, where we are right now is Acts chapter 2, verse 42 and verse 45 through 47. And these deal with the seven essentials of holy living related to what we must do. So we first started to talk to you about what we must believe out of Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 through 2. And now is a continuation of the things that we must do. These are the essentials of holy living, the seven essentials. Now, we talked about the doctrine, the apostolic doctrine. We must practice the doctrine of the apostles. This is the doctrine that the Lord Jesus gave the apostles. They did not make this up. They preached what they received from the Lord. Even the apostle Paul uses that language when he talks about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he has shared what he has received of the Lord. You got to be careful because doctrine is always going to lie. Sound doctrine will always line up with scripture. Anybody can talk doctrine. Anybody can use that word, but only sound doctrine will line up with scripture. And any other doctrine other than sound doctrine is false doctrine. And you should reject that. You should only operate your life by the sound doctrine of the word of God. Don't even, and this is why you need to know the scripture, because people will twist scripture to their own liking. They'll take a part of scripture and not take all of it. You know, the scripture talks about line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. You can't just take a passage of scripture and pull that out of the body of the Bible and then go running off with that as if that's supposed to be the foundation for some premise of what you believe or some premise for some behavior and not take in the other parts of scripture that speak about your belief system or your behavior. You got to put the whole thing together. And so this is why I want you to have this holistic view. This is a holistic view of the doctrines of Jesus Christ. So the first point in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 was the doctrine, the apostles' doctrine. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. The next point was fellowship. That was number two. Then breaking of bread, which is communion, and then prayers. And we went through the first four. We talked about those and we shared the corresponding scriptures concerning that. For those that missed the exposition on that, you can listen to or view last week's lesson, which is online at our website, www.beulahtabrocks.org. With that as a introduction, let's get right into it. We're going to go now to number five, which has to do with the part of their possessions. I have a note to start there. Oops. And so we're going to start right there. I just need you all. I think we've got somebody. Amen. Sister Hobby is going to read for us Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 through 11. Let's go right on it. You may have to unmute yourself.
Right. Hey, Malachi 3:6-11 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from my ordinance and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me none herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts.
Thank you very much, Sister Hobby. You have to understand, God sees everything. And when we talk about the disciples, how they parted their possessions, how they gave, they were very open and obedient. They followed the instructions of the Lord through the apostles. They opened their hearts. They parted their possessions. And you know, Ananias and Sapphira is used as an example of a couple that lied to the Holy Spirit. They lied to the apostles, and the apostles helped them to understand, you know, you think you're lying to me. You're not lying to me, or maybe perhaps you are lying to me, but what's more important, that you're lying to God. And so what comes out of your mouth, you're going to either be condemned by it or you're going to be justified by it. And so, you know, they lied. And as a result, the husband came in first. And Peter asked him, is this everything that you're turning in from the sale of the property and whatnot? And he said, yeah, this is everything. But the Holy Spirit had told him that, no, they're holding back. He's holding back. And, you know, the truth of the matter is, you know, the apostle said, while you had this possession, it was yours. If you only wanted to give a portion, that's all you had to give. And you didn't have to lie about saying that, no, this is everything. And essentially, as he was saying that to Ananias, Ananias fell dead. You know, he fell down dead in the presence of the apostles. There's always a death connected with lies. Something dies when you lie. Something always dies when you lie. And you've got to be careful what comes out of your mouth. Lying is not God. God does not lie. And so Ananias lied. Peter called him out by the Holy Spirit. He dropped down dead. The guys that were there in the sanctuary with Peter, you know, they took the body of Ananias out. And shortly after Ananias fell down dead, they took him out and buried him. Sapphira comes in, his wife, the wife of Ananias. She comes in. Peter asks her the same question. You know, is this everything from the sale? And, you know, the thing about it is, it really is kind of interesting. Like, why would Peter ask them that question? You know, sometimes the Holy Spirit will stir you up to ask a question that really is like, you know, so far left field that it's almost like, well, why are you asking that question? Well, the Holy Spirit will prompt that. And, you know, honestly speaking, if there's nothing to hide, there's nothing to hide. And they actually had nothing to hide, but they chose to lie. And that level of integrity in the first century church, in terms of honesty and openness in the context of this service, is very powerful, because sometimes people act a certain way and what they're doing is not truly reflective of what's in their heart. Their heart was not in what they were doing. And God judged them for that, because the thing was the thing of God. And you got to be very careful. When you act a certain way as it relates to doing something as unto the Lord, and you act in an untoward way, God makes a record of that. anything we do. But the Bible says, whatsoever we find, whatever our hands find to do, do it with all our might. When we do service, we're supposed to do services unto the Lord. Even when you are at your job working for your supervisor or your manager, and I'll put it even in the context of school, when you are working for somebody that's over you, you're supposed to do that work with an attitude as doing it as unto the Lord. That's what the scripture says. If you act any way outside of that, you are acting in a way that will bring judgment. Let's move on. So we hear now, you know, the scripture talks about robbing God. And how do we rob God? By not honoring God with your tithes and offerings. A whole nation thought they were doing the things, you know, that they should have been doing, that they should have been honoring God. They figure, yeah, we are honoring God. Well, no, you know, you really are. You've turned away from my statutes and my ordinances or my teachings, or in this case, my doctrine. And I want you to understand how that this, the teachings of God, it's his word, and his word is connected with his covenant. If you step outside of his word, you're stepping outside of covenant. You need to understand the magnitude of the necessity to be built on sound doctrine. Unsound doctrine will expose itself. Sound doctrine will always line up again with the scriptures, always. And so the Lord said to them through Malachi, the tithes and offerings, that's how you're holding back. And he said, everybody, the whole nation was holding back. You can't hold back from God and then expect God to take that lightly, because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell herein. Everything belongs to God. The cattle on a thousand hills belongs to the Lord. And we often use that passage of scripture in bragging about God in the context of him providing for us. And so that's the gimme side of that affirmation. But there's a owe me side. I owe God because everything belongs to him. I owe him my life. I owe him my praise. I owe him my service. I owe him my everything, because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all they that dwell herein. He owns everything. And even what he has given me or assigned me to do in stewardship, he's going to hold me accountable for my stewardship. And so this giving is not just in terms of giving in terms of money, but obviously it is, because we're talking about tithes and offerings. But let's go on. Somebody that's got Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25. If you have that, I don't see it in the chat. I need somebody to get it. You all can see who's got what and what's left open. And I need some quick readers. Proverbs 11, 25.
The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself.
All right. Thank you. The liberal soul shall be made fat, abundant, increased, prosperous, enriched. That person is not going to stay stagnant. There's going to be movement. He who waters will himself be watered. You know, this is the adage, what, you know, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. This is the adage, you reap what you sow. This is the proverb. This is the proverbial side of that whole thing. Again, line upon line, precept upon precept. If you are stingy, and stinginess is not just in terms of money, stinginess is an attitude. Stingy people won't worship God freely. Stingy people won't even praise God consistently. They'll praise God when it's convenient. But if they are called upon to give God praise without it being connected to something that they are directly associated with, they'll sit down right on it. They won't do that. It amazes me when we would used to be in the building, how people would sit down like a statue and they would wait for whatever to be either sung or said or did before they responded to give God a praise when the worship leader would call everybody to give God praise. It is amazing. And then in some cases, what will happen is when some people get behind the mic and stand before the audience, now they want the whole church to rise up and give God praise. And it's just amazing how much you see that kind of thing when, you know, depending on what you're looking at and what you're seeing. But the inconsistency is horrible, because the liberal soul, the liberal soul, you know, it's the attitude. It's the generous attitude. This is why the idea of giving is so important. And this is not just in the New Testament. We've used the Old Testament scripture. Let's go on to 2 Corinthians now, verse 9, chapter 9, verse 6 through 8, please.
But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye also having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work.
Thank you very much, J.D. Austin. It's important to note that the Lord is very, very concerned about lining you up with the economy of heaven. I'm going to say that one more time. God wants to align you with the economy of heaven. Give and it shall be given unto you again. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. The scripture says, he that soweth sparingly in a stingy way, so only spreading out a few seeds, as opposed to generously sowing seed. A stingy giver will have a stingy life. Stingy givers will have a stingy life. And it's so interesting how people respond to the idea of giving when it means to give to others versus times when it's time to give to them. Stingy givers will have a stingy life. Generous givers will experience the provision of God. God will always honor his word. Now, the Bible says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That is absolutely correct. But you can't take that scripture out of context and leave 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 and 8 out as if God didn't say that too. He's basically telling you here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 through 8, how to get that supply in your life. You can't get a crop without planting seeds. You can't get a harvest without sowing seeds. So you can quote, but my God shall supply all my need. You can quote, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Those are declarations. The instruction is along with the declaration. You can't have the declaration without the instruction. You have to have the instruction in order to experience the declaration. And the instruction is here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 and 8, Proverbs 11:25, and Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 through 11. This is teaching. So a lot of times what happens is in the church, people will tell you about a thing, but they won't tell you how to get it. God is not just going to tell you about a thing. He's going to tell you how to get it if it's a part of his will. And we know that it is God's will that we prosper and be in health. But look at the hook. Even as your soul prospers. So your spiritual health is directly connected with your physical increase. Now, there are some people that will only measure you based upon what you have, and the devil is a liar. You are much more than what you have. You are much more valuable to God than what you possess. You know, never estimate somebody by what they have or don't have. because that's surface assessment. Sure, God can give you $1 million. Sure, God can give you a 7 or 8 figure job. Sure, God can bless you where all your bills are paid and you're living off the interest of a multi-million or $1 billion investment of some sort. Sure, those things can happen. But Jesus also said in the context of his burial preparation, the poor you shall have with you always. And so you're going to always have an opportunity to realize that if you don't put God first, there's going to be a consequence. God must always come first. And so when it comes down to the idea of us giving, please don't be stingy. You've got to sow in order to get. You've got to give in order to get. And again, this is an issue of the heart. Stinginess is not just stingy is not just what people do. It's what people are. The cheerful giver expresses an attitude of the heart. We're not talking about their facial expression or their body language, which in most cases or in some cases, it's tied to what their heart is dealing with. But we're talking here about the attitude of a heart. And consequently, verse 8 says, God is able to pour blessings on you in an astonishing way so that you're ready for anything and everything, more than just ready to do what needs to be done. He will give you excess, able to make all grace abound towards you, that you having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. You don't even have to have the money in the bank when you have God in your life, because God will open the doors for you. Let's go on. That was part of their possessions, number 5, and giving. So that's the idea of giving. You got to understand what the Bible says about that, the doctrines around that, and apply that to your life. Let's go on to number 6. Number 6 is house to house in terms of the 7 essentials of holy living, what we must do. And again, this speaks of hospitality. Speaks of hospitality. The 6th point in the 7 essentials of holy living. Number 6, house to house speaks of hospitality. Acts chapter 2, verse 46. And James chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. Acts chapter 2, Sister Sutton has that. And please, immediately after her, Sister Hobby will share James chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. Please go ahead.
And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart.
And Sister Hobby, please go ahead and read that. Who has James? I thought Sister Hobby, did I read that right? James chapter 2, verse 15 through 17.
If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what do it profit? Even so faith, if it have not works, is dead, being alone.
Thank you. So let's understand Acts chapter 2, verse 46. They had a disciplined life. They continued daily in one accord in the temple, and they broke bread from house to house. This was a part of their experience, the issue of hospitality. This was not done in the synagogues. This was not done in temples. This was not done in the marketplaces. This was done in their homes. They ate their meals together. They had joyfulness and generosity. See, those are the two elements that make for real hospitality: joyful and generous. A joyful and generous person, and you may want to make a note of that, joyfulness and generosity make for hospitality. And so somebody may be praying and saying, Lord, please help me to be, I want to be more hospitable. I want to be more hospitable. Well, work on your joy and work on your generosity. So you don't have to ask God about being joyful. You can develop joy. You can begin to focus more on what the Lord has done for you and allow that to give you joy. You can consider what God has done in the past, what God is doing now, and the expectation for what God is going to do in the future. And that can give you joy. Put your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. That can give you joy. And then with generosity, be generous. You know, sometimes we pray about stuff that God says do. The scripture says men ought always to pray and not to faint. You don't have to pray to ask God to help you to pray. You just need to do it. So this disciplined life is one of the blessings that develop from learning what the scripture says we need to do. You can't do what you don't know to do, but when you know to do it, you know, somebody one time said, when you know better, you do better. Well, the scripture is nothing but better. And so when you know the word of God and you apply the word of God, because as the last verse of James chapter 2, verse 15 through 17 says, that, you know, faith, if it has not works, is dead. So you can talk about a prayer, you can pray, but if you don't do what's necessary, then your prayer is going nowhere. So there's a connection between the effectiveness of your prayers and what you do after you pray. And so focusing on this idea of hospitality, they did this daily. It was a daily expression of hospitality. And so working on that area of your life in terms of being joyful and being generous, that's a good way to approach this aspect of increasing hospitality. Now, I know we're living in a COVID-19 pandemic era and a season where social distancing has been preached to us for over a year, watching distance with people that we don't live with, wearing face masks, the whole routine of personal protective equipment, all of those things. And so you may say, Pastor, well, how are we supposed to practice this in a COVID-19 situation? Well, you can certainly first practice it by coming to your church services, if it's virtual or not, being active and being engaging there. Come there with a joyful heart. Come on time and engage. Be ready. I've often told you all that you need to start getting ready now for when the Lord opens up the door for the church. Can somebody turn to their neighbor and say, new building, new building, new building. Praise the name of God. When the Lord opens up the door for us to go in, praise the name of God. And I'm going to say it again, new house, new house, new house. When the Lord opens up the door for us to go back in, you're going to have a major transition in the shift, because we basically have shaved off 3 to 4 hours of a Sunday morning routine and just getting ready and getting to the house of God. And so you got to discipline yourself. You got to get up, give yourself enough time, get your look together, get your hair together, you know, whatever outfit, get your outfit together, get your prayer veil together. If you want to wear a hat, wear a hat. Come on, in the name of Jesus, get that hat and be ready. Be camera ready for Sunday morning, the same way you would be if you went to the house of the Lord. Now, you know, I know it's virtual, but still, there's a discipline, and that discipline is going to bless you. It's going to bless your life, because not only will you be disciplined in one area, but being disciplined in one area will help you be disciplined in all areas. Let's go on. Now, Sister Marbury, I believe it was, just read James chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. And again, this talks about the faith in action. You can't just pray a prayer and then don't do anything. So if you've got a brother or sister that's destitute, they don't have adequate clothing, they lack enough food, and you just basically, you know, say, oh, God bless you. You lift your hand and wave your hand to them. Go in peace. May the Lord bless you. Stay warm and be fed, be filled. Think warm thoughts and think filling thoughts without giving them the things that they need to be that. Well, what good is your salutation? What good is your greeting? You haven't done anything. Even if, you know, if you gave them a cup of coffee or a cup of soup, you know, that would have been better than just saying, oh, God bless you, I'm praying for you. You know, we have to do. we have to do better. We have to do better with the area of hospitality. And so James applies the idea of faith without works is dead, even to this. And so it's this application of the idea of generosity, it pops up throughout scripture in many places. Here in the book of James, in the book of the wisdom book of the New Testament, the Lord deals with James to speak to us about being generous and being sensitive and being hospitable. I just think it's profound. So that's point number six, going house to house from Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through and 45 through 47, the idea of hospitality. And we just shared with you out of Acts chapter 2, verse 46 and James chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. Let's go to the last point. Point number seven, giving God praise, the praise life. And this, the scripture for this point, again, this is point number seven in the essentials of holy living. Again, from a doctrinal standpoint, what we must do, okay? Point number seven is the praise life. We got quite a bit of verses there for that. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 through 37. Psalms 34, verse 1. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 through 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. And finally, Philippians 4, verse 4. I'll read those verses one more time for the audience that's listening and not having the visual. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 through 37. Psalms 34, verse 1, Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 through 18, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, and Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. So if let's get our readers together. What am I missing? Let's get our readers together. Matthew chapter 12, verse 13 to 16. Let's go.
But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by the words thou shalt be justified, and by the words thou shalt be condemned.
Thank you. You have to understand that our words are powerful. Our words are powerful. And when God has given us instruction with how we ought to speak, you should not take that lightly. He has given us the guidelines of how we ought to use our mouth because words are powerful. And you have to understand, God is not asking you to be anybody's judge. He's not asking you to be anybody's critic. What he's saying, and what I love about this verse is that it says, but I say unto you. This is a self-examination thing. It's not about you trying to find fault in somebody, trying to find something that they've done wrong that you can pin against them. That's not what this is about. This, my friend, is about you. Jesus is like Jesus is pointing a finger. I'm saying to you, on the day of judgment, people will have to give an account of every careless or useless word they speak. Your words reflect your spiritual condition. Be careful what comes out of your mouth. Because by your words, you're going to have to give an account. And the idea of give an account, that's an accounting term. That's a financial term. To give an account, it's a reckoning. So it's kind of like balancing the books. So when you talk about the idea of balancing books, like balancing your checkbook, you're talking about the idea of looking at what has been put in versus what has been taken out, and then you're left with the balance. It's a practice that, you know, from a young person, I was always around people that talked about financial things. I was in school with people that did financial things in high school and college. And so being exposed to financial concepts and ideas was something that, you know, was always interesting to me. And I always loved working with spreadsheets. And so spreadsheets is nothing but number crunching. And so the idea of giving an account has to do, it's a financial term, but it's also a term in terms of stewardship. And so stewards are responsible to handle an assignment and have productivity as a result. When you are given an assignment in stewardship, you are not allowed to turn that thing back over the way you received it and walk away as if, oh, it's all good. You will remember the parable of the talents. And we won't get into that too deep. I only have about 10 minutes left on this, and I'm going to have to end. We're going to have to finish up this praise life next week. I want to try to be as careful with time as possible. And so we'll end on this note, that stewardship always comes with accountability. And every single one of you on this line, you're a steward. Your stewardship is connected to what God has put in your hands, what God has given you as an assignment. And that's whether you're talking about something that the Lord has put in your heart or something that your pastor has asked you to do. Because some people want the pastor to do everything. And you'll ask folks to do this or you'll ask them to do that, and they'll be resistant and difficult and him and ha, blah, 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 blah. And you'll find that they won't get much more. And you know, your fruit, it's by your fruit that people will know you. It's by your fruit that you basically demonstrate who you really are. It's not about a title. It's not about an office. It's not about a position or a rank, whether it's given by government, given by the ecclesia, the presidium. It doesn't matter where the rank comes from. What God is going to do is basically say, what have you done with what's been given you? And so your words have been given to you, and your words are powerful. You're going to have to give an account for what comes out of your mouth. By your words, thou shalt be justified. By thy words, thou shalt be condemned. And I've got to end here tonight. I'm trying to do better and not keep you all on the line too long. I apologize for when we have gone over, but I want to try to do better. I want to try to do better to respect your time. I'm excited about sharing the word of God with you, and I pray that you have gotten something out of it. But I want to give space also to the prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. And I want to honor your time. I'm holding all of you accountable as grown folks. Honor time, to respect time. I'm teaching this to you, and I cannot teach this to you without modeling it for you. And so you all already know that I'm a very time-oriented person. If we need to make an announcement to change this to an hour and a half, and we'll do that. But I want to try to stay loyal to this time that we've had, because I really basically only promoted to be an hour. And so, if we go to an hour and a half, then we'll adjust the announcement that way. But I want to give you something solid. I want to give you something that's going to bless you. I want to give you something that's going to, my mom used to say, when it comes down to eating a winter snack, you need to have something that's going to put meat on your bones. You can't go out there cold, not having something hot in your belly to keep you warm going out into the cold. You need something that's going to stick to your bones. And so you need the word of God. The word of God will stick to your bones. It is healing for all your flesh. It's strength unto your bones, and it's healing to all your flesh. This is the word of God. And so tonight, I want to thank God for what we were able to cover. We will cover more next week. And I'm just going to give you a little bit of a sneak preview about where we're going next, because the Lord has put on my heart that we're going to take a deeper dive into fellowship. Level one is dealing with communication amongst believers, and level two is dealing with communication and with God. Tonight, I'm going to also share with you this assignment that I want you to do. This is a take-home assignment for yourself. It's not going to be turned in. I'm not asking for you to turn it in, but I want you to apply what you're learning. How can I put into practice the seven doctrines of Christ? Because of the doctrine of, you know, whichever the doctrine is, I will do thus and so. So for example, let's talk about the idea of hospitality. Okay, let's talk about hospitality. Because of the, the doctrine of Christ, we're dealing with Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 through 2. Hebrews 6, 1 through 2. So we're talking about the seven doctrines of Christ, talking about perfection, repentance from dead works, faith toward God, doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection from the dead, and eternal judgment. So how can I put into practice the seven doctrines of Christ? Let's take on the idea. Let's take the first one, perfection. Because of the doctrine of perfection, I will be very careful. I will exercise more judgment with what comes out of my mouth because I'm working toward a better me. My God from glory. Sometimes we put this on God to do. You need to put this in your notes. I will work on becoming a better me, a more Christ-like me. I will watch. I will put a watch over my mouth. Praise the name of God. I will be slow to speak and quick to hear. Praise the name of God. And whatever other area you realize in your life, you need to be better. Perfection is talking about walking like Jesus. So what is it in your walk that needs to be tweaked to be more like Jesus? You can look at the fruit of the Spirit and pick one of the fruit of the Spirit and focus on that. That's a perfect way to apply the doctrine of Christ as it relates to perfection. What area of the fruit do you need to improve on? Praise the name of God. And the thing is, it's in you. The seed is in you. You've just got to let it grow. So that's an example of number one. Number two, how can I put into practice the seven essentials of holy living? Well, the seven essentials of holy living, again, that comes out of Acts chapter 2, verse 42 and 45 through 47. The apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, which is communion, prayers, parting of their possessions, which is giving, house to house, which is hospitality, and praising God, which is the praise life, which we started today. We'll go deeper into that on next week. But how do I put into practice the seven essentials of holy living? I can practice, let's say, prayers. Okay, when we talked about prayers, we talked about intercessory prayer. We talked about the prayer of praise. We talked about the prayer of binding and loosing. We talked about the prayer of agreement. We talked about the prayer of petition. So we're talking about five areas of prayer. So if I want to put into practice this, I can practice praying by maybe making a list and creating a prayer journal where I'm putting my petitions in the prayer journal, or I'm making a list of people who I'm going to pray intercessory prayer for. That's a perfect example of how to put into practice the idea of prayer. Praise the name of God. And so those are some examples about how to actually put into practice the ideas and whatnot that I'm sharing with you for homework, because I want you to be able to see the practical application of what's being taught. It's not good enough just to teach it. I want you to apply it. This is transformational teaching. Praise the name of God. We're going to end on that note, and we're going to go to the prayer at this time. We've got three prayer leaders that will be taking us to the throne of grace tonight, representatives from our men's ministry, from our women's ministry, and from our youth ministry will lead us to the throne of grace as we even take the lesson content. Every time we come together and we do these prayers, you should consider the content of the lesson as a part of the aspect of the prayer. And so without any further ado, we're going to give space to the representative from the men's ministry, then from the sisterhood, and then from the young people. And then I will come back and give the final prayer in Jesus' name.
Father, we love you. We thank you for this time and space that you are allowing us to come together as the people of God on this Tuesday night to worship and to praise you. Father, I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you bless us. Thank you for waking us up this morning, oh God. Thank you for starting us on our way, oh God. Thank you that we are clothed in our right mind. Oh God, thank you, oh God, that we have the activities of our limbs, oh God. We ask that you will forgive us of any one of our sins, anything that we said to the thought, oh God, that was wrong in your sight. We ask, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you would bless us, oh God. Thank you, oh God, for what you're doing in our lives, oh God. Thank you, oh God, for what is being taught to us. Father, we ask, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ, that we will understand your word. I pray, Lord, that you will make your word plain unto us, oh God. Thank you, oh God, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And Father, I pray, Lord, that we will not only just be hearers of your word, but also doers of that same word. Father, allow, oh God, us to apply, oh God, your word to our hearts and to our spirits, to our minds, oh God, and we love you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, you are indeed worthy to be praised. We lift you up and we exalt you even on tonight, O God, because you are our master and you are our savior, O God. And right now, Lord Jesus, we God that we have learned on tonight, O God. Father, we pray, God, that you would help us, dear God, to have hospitality, O God. Father, Lord God, help us, dear God, to be more generous to one another, O God. Father, please, Lord God, we pray, dear God, that you will have your way in our lives, O God, that you will lead us in your directions to follow your path, O God. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we pray, God, that you will have mercy on us, O God, and forgive us even for the times, dear God, that we did not practice those things, dear God, when we were not generous, when we got caught up in our feelings, oh God, and didn't allow you to take full and complete control. We pray, dear God, that each and every day that you would help us and direct us, lead us in your path, oh God. Help us, dear God, that as we speak to one another, we'll speak with grace and love, oh God. Help us, dear God, to be peaceful with one another and to be generous, oh God, even to one another, oh God, to help those that need the help, oh Father, that, oh God, that we will not focus so much on ourselves, oh God, but focus on others, oh God, and the needs of others, oh God. Help us, dear God, that we would practice your principles, oh God, what you have taught us in your word, oh God, to love one another, oh God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the grace, dear God, that you have upon us, oh God. Father, Lord God, you are worthy, oh God, and we give you praise and honor, Lord Jesus. Father, have your way in our lives, oh God. Help us to empty ourselves, oh God, and to allow your Holy Spirit to lead and direct us, oh God, in your path, oh God. Help us, dear Father, even in our lives, dear God, that we would seek to do what pleases you, oh God. That, oh God, we would pray more, oh God, and that we would understand more of your word, oh God. Open up our understanding, oh God, as we read your word, oh God, and we draw even closer to you, oh God. For you are our strength, oh God. You, oh God, is the one, dear God, that could make our eyes open, oh God, and understand your word, oh God, and be led by your word, oh God. Right now, in the name of Jesus, oh God, you are glorified, oh God, in our lives, oh God. And we pray, God, that you, oh Lord, will be lifted up in everything that we do. Let others see you more in our lives, oh God, I pray. Father, Lord God, for you deserve the glory and the honor, oh God. For it's none of us doing, oh God, but it's what you are leading us, oh God, to do, oh God. And it's your spirit, oh God, that can do the work, oh God. Help us, dear God, to yield to your spirit, to help us to talk right, to live right, oh God, to do your will, oh God. Father, Lord God, for we lay each and every one before you, oh God. Have your way in our lives, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.
Father God, we thank you for another opportunity to come before your throne of grace, O Lord, to come together as one body, O God, to come together as your children, to come and study and understand and learn your word. God, we thank you, O Lord, for just giving us another day to be alive, O God. Some people didn't wake up this morning, and we thank you, Lord, not just for the large things, the large miracles that people can see, oh God, but we thank you for the grace and the mercy that's upon our lives each and every day. Lord, I thank you for the word that you have given us this night, this teaching, oh God, of doctrine, this teaching, oh God, of how we are to go about our lives. Lord, you don't just want your people to be saved and just come to you, oh Lord, but you give us this book, you give us this text, you give us this knowledge to understand how we are to live out our lives, how we are to be holy and acceptable unto you, Lord God. I thank you for giving us this knowledge, oh God. I thank you for giving us these teachings, oh God, how we are to treat one another, how we are to be treated, oh God, as your children. Lord, I thank you for this. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen.
Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we bless you for your mercy and your grace. We thank you, Lord, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. We thank you, Lord, that you give us clear direction. Thank you for clear direction through your word. Thank you that you will speak to the hearts of your people through your word. Thank you, Lord God, that you will build our faith by your word. Thank you, Lord God, that our faith will stand not in the wisdom of man, but in the power of your word. Lord, I thank you right now that your word is a word of life. Your word is a word that applies to every area of our lives. It's not just for when we're in the church building, because we are the church building. We are the building. Hallelujah. I thank you that we are your building. We are the place of your divine occupation. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Lord, for these that have come to hear your word, these that are listening to your word, and even these, Lord God, that will obey your word. Lord, I know that you have something planned for your people, and what that plan is already mapped out in your mind. Hallelujah. You are not making this up along the way. It's already mapped out. And as we walk in obedience, we'll walk right into it. Lord God, I thank you for purpose unfolding. I thank you for zeal building. I thank you for confidence building. I thank you for the word taking a deeper place. And Lord God, even as we just come out of the consecration last week, Lord God, on Sunday, bringing it to an end, to rededicate, Lord God, to recommit and reconnect. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, those are even areas that are practical and applicable to what we're teaching right now. Father, I pray that you will help us to be people that obey your word. We don't want to frustrate your grace. We don't want to mess up your plan. We don't want to do anything, Lord God, that will not bring you glory. We want to support each other. Pray one for another. Be hospitable toward one another. Be forgiving one toward another. Be merciful one toward another. Be patient one toward another. Be liberal one toward another. I thank you for increase manifesting in the lives of your people, even as we walk according to your word. Lord, I bless your name right now. I come against the spirit of heaviness, Lord God, and even the spirit of discouragement. This has been a difficult time. This has been a challenging season. And Lord God, people have lost so much already. People have lost so much. But Lord, I thank you that you are a restorer. You will always honor your word. And so, Lord God, as we obey your word, we know you will honor your word. And so, Lord God, I pray tonight that these precious souls will do more than just hear this word. I pray that they would do this word. I thank you, Lord, because you actually have spoken unto us that we would embrace this word and become like it. Lord, I thank you. There is a supernatural transformation that takes place as we embrace your word. We become more and more like Jesus. And so, Lord, that is the goal. Lord God, that is the arete. That is the pinnacle. That is the peak, to be transformed into his likeness. And so, Lord God, I thank you for these dry runs, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for these practice sessions, Lord God, where we can learn the precepts. We can learn the concepts. We can learn the word and then go put it into practice. I praise you for victory in everybody's practice this week. of the words that they have heard this day as we take an area and as we take ground, as we take an area and we take ground, we take victory, we take dominion, we pick an area and take authority. We pick an area and exercise the power of God within us. For indeed, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And so we bless your name this night, and we commit these precious souls into your hands. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the sweet fellowship of his Holy Spirit, rest, rule, and abide with you all now and forevermore. All of those that love the Lord, can you give him a praise right now? Can you give him a praise right now? Can you just open your mouth and give him a praise? Take a moment and praise him right now.
Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
Take a moment. Take a moment. Take a moment and give God his due. Forget about what you have gone through. We own him. What do you owe him?
Oh Lord God, we hold nothing from you. Everything, Lord God, is not like on the altar.
Do you owe him? What do you owe him?
In the name of Jesus. Oh God, let us be, Lord God. Help us not to live in our emotions. Oh Lord God, let us not live in our emotions.
Hallelujah,
Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh Lord God, let us live according to your word.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord God, bless you. People, bless Lord God, your men servants. Hallelujah, Lord God, the blood prevail. Down every stronghold.
Jesus,
God, help us to live according to your word. No matter what the hurt, what do you owe him? Seek your face in the name of Jesus on everything. Depend on you, Lord God. Answer the prayer. Guide your children. Your children in the name of Jesus. We're leaning on you.
Hallelujah.
We're giving you honor and we're giving you praise in the midst of the storm. Hallelujah, Lord. We love you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, be with you.
Hallelujah. How much I owe for love divine, how much I owe since Christ is mine, and what he is to me, I know. I cannot tell how much I owe, how much I owe for love divine, how much I owe since Christ is mine, and what he is to me, I know. I cannot tell how much I owe. When Jesus died on Calvary, when Jesus died, it was for me. I oftentimes wonder, shall I know how much I owe, how much I owe? My Jesus in Gethsemane passed through the direst agony. 'Twas all for me, he suffered so. How can I tell how much I owe when on the cross those cruel nails gave me a Christ that never fails, and from his wounds there came a flow that saves from sin? How much I owe when I shall reach that golden shore to dwell with him forevermore.
more. 10 billion years may come and go. I cannot tell how much I owe, how much I owe for love divine. How much I owe since Christ is mine. And what he is to me, I know. I cannot tell how much I owe. God bless you, beloved. God bless you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace in Jesus' name. God bless you. We look forward to seeing you next week as we come again for a night of Bible study and prayer. God is on the throne. Let us love him. Let us obey him. Let us follow his words and allow the promises of God's word to manifest in our lives as we obey him and walk in spirit and walk in truth. God bless you. Love you all. We'll see you next time in Jesus' name.